Blog Talk Radio.
Red left slot, 51X spot, flanker cross. Someone, right?
58! Blue, 58 to the...
All right, here we go. They're going to jump right here. You know they're going to jump. Everybody hold your water. Green right slot, 98 handoff slot on three. Ready? Balls.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
I'm the quarterback. Okay. Don't stop, homie.
I go to jail if I get sacked. Yeah. So block for me.
Eight ball in my corner pocket. It's on and popping. Got the whole club leaning with it.
And body rocking.
Drunk driving in my cut, dog. I got my truck ball. 72 Tennessee Titans. Like, what up, y'all?
Hey, what's up? Hey, good start there, Beck, man. I like that. Thanksgiving show. That's how we started off. Not sure if your mic's working. No, my mic's working, so I take the lead. You take the back burner for a second, just like your Celtics are going to take the back burner for tonight. Going to do what they do. And the Miami Heat are going to continue to do what they do, and they're going to beat you down. We're going to freaking hash out the bet on air tonight because the game starts at 7:30. So you're going to have me enthusiastic until that time, at which point I will just tune out like most of our listeners do on a weekly basis. Beck, go. What's up, dude? Beck. Well, all right. I guess that speaks for what the Celtics fans are going to do with this game tonight. They aren't going to have much to say. The 16-game win streak, the 15-game win streak, the 17-game win streak comes to an end tonight in Miami, and yeah, they're all going to be left speechless saying, wow, what happened? Well, what happened is you weren't as good as you guys thought you were. I mean, 16-17, that's impressive. Kyrie Irving's been playing lights out. It's going to be a good game. This is the kind of game that the Miami Heat are going to get up for. There's no doubt in my mind that they're going to get up for this one because they need some freaking motivation. They're just sitting around in mediocrity, and it's awful to watch. It's terrible basketball because everybody got paid this year. Everybody that was playing their asses off in the second half of the season on that 30-11 run was playing for contracts. Everybody got their contracts. Now the head coach, Eric Spoelstra, is just sitting there trying to figure out what kind of motivation he can use to get his guys to play basketball and win some damn games. And he doesn't have anything. He doesn't. And it's been pathetic basketball, it just as most sports are in Miami right now, whether it's the Heat, except for the Hurricanes, I'll give them that, but that's college, so we're not going to get into that at all on this show. Just mediocrity. Just, yeah, we're bad. We know we are. Anyways, though, big show lined up tonight, Thanksgiving edition. I'm not sure if you're with us or if you're not, but if you are, thanks for tuning in. You know the number. It's 267-521-0153. I know a lot of people are out traveling. You can also catch us on the podcast, Rewind. I don't know what the website is. Matt Money would normally give that to you, but he's not here right now on Thanksgiving issues, I suppose. Facebook, whatever, type in Picking Up the Blitz. I don't think that that thing, I don't even know if that thing's still functional. Beck, are you with me or what, bro? Where are you at? Okay, that's fine. Works for me. Big week in the NFL this past Sunday. We're going to get into that. Got a big week coming up here. A bunch of games tomorrow. Nothing really worth watching. I mean, unless you're really into the Dallas Cowboys, San Diego Chargers, Los Angeles Chargers. My bad. I have to catch myself because I do it all the time. You want to watch the Redskins Giants at 8 o'clock if you're going to stay up for that one. That sounds like a freaking phenomenal game. And then you got Case Keenum and the Vikings, who are surprisingly good, I guess. I don't think they really are as good as their record goes to say, as their record indicates, but they're going to be playing the Lions at the 12 o'clock game. It seems like more mediocrity. That's the word I'm going to be rolling with tonight for the NFL. Let's call it what it is. The Chiefs, who we do have some breaking news about, which we'll get to in just a minute. The Chiefs couldn't beat the Giants? The Chiefs in a 9-6 game? They lost 9-6 to the Giants in overtime? The team that we were talking about, that we were so hyped up about, at 5-1, or whatever the record was, has now dropped 4 out of the last 5, or is it 5 out of the last 6? One or the other. Again, no producer. And they can't get up to beat the Giants? This is typical Alex Smith, Andy Reid, Kansas City Chiefs. The reason that Andy Reid is one of the most overrated coaches that there is. Yeah, he's a decent coach. He's a decent coach. But every year, his team seem to get off to these freaking hot, steaming, amazing, fast-paced, phenomenal starts. And then every year, they lose momentum. It never fails. It never fails. And the Giants, of course. And the only reason I'm really that pissed off about this game is because obviously I picked the Kansas City Chiefs as my lock in my survivor pool when there's like four of us left. And of course, hey, it was a rough week all around. Don't get me started on the Dolphins, because they're not going to be a topic of the show anymore for the season. They need to phone this one coming in, because going to Foxborough, this is an embarrassment waiting to happen. Like, this is going to be bad. Spread came in at 16, fluctuating a little bit between 15 and 17. Patriots are going to beat the Dolphins down so badly that there's never a time where I don't watch the game. There's times where I might turn it off for maybe 4 minutes to cool down and I flip back to it. This one, I don't know, man. And on the flip side of this Dolphins-Patriots game, the Patriots, dude. I hate to do it, but for the last 15 years, they've just been bullying the AFC East. I mean, they've been stuffing each one of these teams in the lockers and laughing as they do it. They're the high school bully picking on junior high kids. This is essentially what this is, and they deserve all the credit, man. Brady hasn't lost a freaking step. And they lose guys. The things that they do with these little white dudes, it doesn't matter who's on the field. It does not matter what their personnel is. It doesn't matter. They draw up the game plan. They execute it. It could be Deion Lewis 1 week. It could be Mike Gillisley 1 week. It could be Bartellus Bennett 1 week. It could be Julian Edelman. I know he's hurt. It could be Danny Amendola, Chris Hogan, these freaking nobodies that they turn into stars. And they've been doing it for years, and it never falls off. Tom Brady's 40. He's still out there making the Oakland Raiders look like a high school, look like a college football team. Oakland had no answer defensively. Brady just played with them. The final score was 33-8 or whatever it was. It could have been 53-8. They just took their foot off the gas because they said, we don't have to. Don't tire Tom out. Tom says, yeah, I like Mexico. I might come back here. Yeah, no shit, man. Enough. Again, I don't know if Beck's here. I don't know if the phone lines are open. I know Matt Money's not here. I'm holding it down, though. I'm E-Fane. KB's all probably just – he's already sulking somewhere in the corner because he knows the kind of – we're going to make a $100 bet on this one. I don't know if I'm supposed to discuss his finances on the air, but I'm going to do it until he comes in, chimes in, and cuts me off. We're supposed to put the $100 on this one. Game starts at 7:30. I'm pumped. I don't think that the Celtics are as good as everybody claims they're going. Maybe everybody doesn't think that they are. All right, good. So maybe you don't have a microphone, but somebody's working this thing. I'm glad to see we're still going. I don't think that the NBA world is even fearing the Celtics. I don't, because what's the fear? Jason Tatum? Jaylen Brown? That other big white dude that they put in that actually seems tougher than Kelly Olynyk now that he comes down to South Beach? It's just Kyrie. And a very solid cast of characters around him. But eventually, this streak's coming to an end. It's coming tonight. But I still want the 3 points that the spread came in at. And I don't think I'm too crazy for asking about that. Ray Allen's gay now. Congratulations. Apparently, you got a big catfish dish on Grindr. Grouper Grindr.
The wireless customer you are calling is not available. Please try again later.
El cliente de servicio móvil al que llama no se encuentra disponible. Favor de intentar más tarde.
Message 1. MD03UL. The wireless customer you are calling is not available. Please try again later.
El cliente de servicio móvil al que llama no se encuentra disponible. Favor de intentar más tarde.
Message 1. MD03UL.
So no one knows that the Blitz is up and running right now. I'm going to need the text line to come in with some text here because nobody seems to know. Beck, I know you're holding it down. Mad Money, I know you can't be here tonight. The show goes on. Because I'm too pumped about this game, dude. This is the first NBA game of the whole regular season I'm actually freaking pumped about. Because I can't wait to take your stupid face back and just rub it in this smug. Mug that I'm going to produce after this one. Because I hate the Celtics. I do. It was cute when they put this little scrub team together, dude, and it's like, oh, man, that's dope. Like, okay, Kyrie's, you know, he's a really good player, and they got some other kids, and here comes Gordon Hayward with his little slick haircut, and then, you know, he breaks his leg, and this is a cute story. Yeah, 16 in a row. Man, they got heart. They got grit there in Boston. I already kissed one Boston team's ass tonight. I'm not doing two. Okay? So what we're going to do here is we're going to drink 13, 14 beers, right? We're going to turn the volume up on this TV.
Yeah, I'm here with you.
But hey, the only way that's what's up. Yeah, I can't wait to rub some smug in your face, dude. I'm going to. Bound to happen, bud. And I think
we
got to
call on the line.
Let's
go to our caller.
Woo!
Yo, what up, Titty here?
Titty!
Hey!
Is the show on the air?
Titty here. Yeah, yeah. You're here.
All right, that's cool, man. I like that, dude. What's going on?
What's happening, man? Happy Thanksgiving to you guys. I am so, so thankful to have you guys providing entertainment as I drive through the entire state of Virginia. And I was going to reach out to KB and say, hey, man, how did you stay entertained during your long drives through Virginia to High Point University? and I figured I didn't want to go down that rabbit hole. So just calling in, check in. You guys hopped off the air for a minute. Still sounded great, though. Still sounded great. I got two takes, actually, just one. But LeBron and Kyrie, that whole situation. Real quick, did you say Ray Allen's gay?
Yeah.
Is that real?
We're getting to the bottom of it. We got our best guys on the staff on it right now.
All right. Well, I love all this hype about the Celtics here in the first half of the season when they're winning 14, 15 straight games, whatever it is. And tonight, yeah, you're going to have a really good time cracking open 11, 12 beers, turn the TV up real loud, do whatever you want. But it's going to be LeBron in the championship, and I'm willing to bet KC a whole case of that Mad Dog hot sauce, and we'll take it from there. So I'll let you guys talk about it. Take care. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, Titty. Thanks for the call, man. Beck, you want to chime in on this one first, considering you haven't been on the air yet? You want to get out your Thanksgiving thanks, or what do you want to do here? Okay, cool. I'll go ahead and take the lead on this one then. Titty, I agree with you 100%, man. I called it right on tip-off. First game of the season on the blitz. I told you, this is the year that LeBron James, he's going to win this one. It'll be the last year in Cleveland. He's going to go on his way, and he's going to get the championship. It's going to be Cleveland versus Golden State for the fourth year in a row, and the Celtics story is nice, and they're looking like they're going to be there in the Eastern Conference Finals, considering the Eastern Conference is as weak as it is. LeBron's going to do – the thing that everybody likes to overreact, and we know this, I mean, this is just, that's the nature of sports fans, sports media, so on and so forth. But the thing is that why would LeBron give two shits about playing during the regular season? Why would you possibly, at 32, with your old man crew around you, exert any extra force to beat Minnesota or Toronto? Like, who cares? Okay, yeah, Toronto beat us. So, wow, we've lost 4 out of 5. What does that matter to me? Put me in the sixth seed if you want to. Guess who's going to the championship? Me. You're not going to beat LeBron at this stage in this stage of his career seven times, four times. You're not going to do it. It's just not going to. And you look at the cast of characters, man. I know they're getting older, bro. But you put Isaiah Thomas back in there, and I know it's going to take a little bit of time. But guess what? LeBron's the king of making the adjustments. And the firepower that is Golden State's become the villain now. You can feel the shift. It used to be America's little buddy-buddy team, but now with Kevin Durant, now that they got the win, nobody really – I'm not rooting for them anymore, and I feel like that's the kind of – the feeling throughout the sports community. They're over it. They're over Steph Curry. Klay Thompson's Mr. – he's a hell of a player, but personality-wise. They're kind of over Kevin Durant. All right, he got his championship. That's a nice thing. It shifted. And, yeah, I love Kyrie, man. It's good that he's going out and doing his own thing. And Boston is a team, dude, with four. I think the next 4 years, number one, first-round draft picks. Like, these guys are stockpiled to be, I mean, a hell of a team for 10 years. And Beck loves Brad Stevens. A lot of our callers, Columbus especially, they love Brad Stevens. They love the system he runs. They love all that shit. It's good. It's dandy. It's fine. But the truth is, right now, Danny Ainge in Boston and company and Kyrie and Gordon Hayward on the bench. It's still LeBron's East. So just sit back and enjoy the show. because he's not going anywhere until after this year. After this year, he's probably going to go to L.A., it's what it seems, at least. But right now, man, just enjoy it. Y'all should – Boston, you should watch this. In fact, I know that you like LeBron now. You've come around and just said he should be MVP anytime he's ever stepped on the court, any season, any day, any year. Dude, I'm going to miss him when he's gone. We're going to be like, oh, damn. 10 years from now, it's going to be like, remember LeBron? And kids are going to be like, LeBron? I mean, it's like, you know, they're kind of like with Michael. It is now, they don't remember Michael Jordan. I barely remember Michael Jordan. But LeBron, when he's gone, dude, that's going to hurt, man. That's going to hurt the NBA. So right now, I agree 100%, dude. LeBron's going to be in the finals, and I really think that a Wade and a Derrick Rose and these guys, if they can just stay healthy enough to stumble in there, they're going to be just fine, man. I see them beating Golden State. Cleveland gets their ring. LeBron goes off into the sunset to go finish his career somewhere else. What's up? We got a caller on the line. Who's this?
It's me. It's Brandon, Columbus.
Hey, Columbus, what's going on, man?
I've got a lesser question for you. What chance do you give your Heat tonight of ending this win streak y'all been talking about?
Very good. Listen, Columbus, I'm not taking anything away from you guys. I love it, the underdog, and it's been a nice run, man. I haven't seen that many of the Celtics games, but I've been following them closely, ish, and there's been a lot of big comebacks that I've seen. You can maybe talk a little bit more about that, but tonight, I got this feeling, man, because this Heat team, when all these young kids and this young talent, Hassan Whiteside, Tyler Johnson, and James Johnson, and Deion Waiters, who I really don't like that much, but definitely has talent, when they want it, and Goran Dragic is leading the show, they can take it.
It ought to be noted, last time Boston was in Miami, Hassan Whiteside did not play.
Mm-hmm. And there might be some injuries that I haven't even checked up. I should probably check that out. But right now,
he's playing tonight.
Columbus, you know when you get the feeling. And when the feeling goes, man, when the feeling comes, that's what's up, dude. That's what's up. That's what you got to roll with. You got to roll with it. Columbus, listen, one more question, or not one more. We can talk. I mean, it's just me and you. I don't know where everybody else is, but we're holding it down. How do you explain what your New York Giants did to Kansas City? What happened in that game? Because I wasn't watching my Sunday ticket. I had it on the play-by-play on a stupid iPad. So it was just dragging on and on and on and punt and punt and punt to a 9-6 finish with force with one win coming into the game, pull off of the miracle, I guess you could say. Was it that the Giants finally showed up to play football, or was it the Kansas City was that bad?
Kansas City has not looked good since they were 6-0, I think. So it's some of that. What I saw this week that I have not seen before, that doesn't mean it hasn't happened, but everything I read this week, suggested that in the last hour before the game, Eli took things over and talked real hard and real passionate and real long and real fast. And he hadn't done that before.
Working with the likes of Roger Lewis catching essentially the game-winning catch. I know he didn't get any end zone. Mm-hmm. And Tavares King, who one of my buddies who's a Giants fan, has always been really high on. But, hey, Columbus, how about this? You want to break some news to some of the listeners? I'll break some news right now.
All right, man.
So Kansas City Chiefs, as we're speaking of a downward spiral that they're on, considering they've lost 4 out of 5, go out and make the big splash, the big name signing, and go ahead and get themselves Mr. the one and only Terrell Revis.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts, first of all, on this? And I know it's still a name, but we have obviously all seen the decline of Darrell Revis in recent years. This even sparked your interest at all, Columbus?
Well, I don't know. I don't know the player. I saw him play. He's got a great reputation, but you couldn't have proved it by what I saw last year. So this, I think, is just another indication that Kansas City is, you called it, a tailspin. This is reaching out for a life preserver.
And it seems to happen year in and year out. I mean, if you start thinking back about what Kansas City does, this is just typical, whether it's Andy Reid, whether it's Alex Smith. But this Kansas City team, it just blows my mind because there's so much talent there with Tariq Hill, Kareem Hunt, Akeem Hunt, whatever his name is. There's a lot of talent, and the firepower that those guys were showing in weeks 1 through 4, 1 through 5, I mean, they looked like this was an offense that can't be stopped. So now I come to conclusion that either it's a curse on Alex Smith and we just really see what he's made of, a curse on Andy Reid and we really see what his coaching skills are, or people figured out how to shut down the quickness of one Tyreek Hill or, you know, Kareem Hunt.
Yeah,
it
was
I don't know.
I think last week it came down to last Sunday it came down to those three interceptions. You can't figure those in advance. You can't factor them in advance. But if you give the ball away three times, and Snacks Harrison had one of the interceptions, and Jenkins had one. I can't remember who the third interception was by, but that just pull your team down. You don't see that coming, and you can't plan for it.
Well, I was also
looks to me like that Kansas City ship is taking on water.
It sure does, and I don't think that Darrell Revis is the one to bail him out, to be honest with you.
No, I don't either.
Oh, man, that was
not
a great
not,
that was a great
not the Darrell
right
Revis I saw last year.
Well, exactly. He's done, and it sucks to watch him do this because I think Kansas City fans might actually get some hope from this, and it's not going to be the Darrell Revis that they're expecting to come in because they obviously haven't watched the tape recently on this guy. But so anyways, you pretty pumped for this game tonight. What are your thoughts on what's going to happen here? And also let me hear what you've been thinking about the streak that the Boston Celtics have been on recently, because it is impressive, man. I mean, what is it, 16 now?
It's this would be 17. This would be 17 mm-hmm. tonight. The 2018 that won the title won 18, not out of the blocks, but won 18. And Kyrie had 47 points last night. Fine. But if the game goes to overtime, if it's tied at the end of regulation with him having 47 points, that lets you know that everybody on that team pushed in all of the chips that he had. Everybody on that team gave everything they had. And it was you wouldn't think with 47 points it's a team effort, but in an overtime game, every single point counts, obviously. And it was mm-hmm. it was a team effort, and it's been that way all season. It's been that way all season.
Well, yeah.
I'm nervous about tonight. I'm nervous about every game. They're not going to win. They're not going to go 80-2. And this could be the night the streak gets cut, or maybe not. We'll just have to wait to see.
Well, we can only hope, man. We can only hope. And yeah. I want to thank you for the call. I'm not sure where Beck is. I know Matt Money's not with us tonight, so I appreciate you calling in Columbus. I'm excited for the
game,
man.
Have a nice Thanksgiving,
you
Eddie.
As well. Hey,
we always appreciate
well.
The calls. We got another call on the line here. We're going to go right to him. Okay, I think I was talking to an intern on the other line or something like that and listening to the show at the same time.
No.
I actually called into the NBA, but off the NFL, like, I'm an older guy, a little bit older than I think the host of the show, and Andy Reid has a historic, I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse, but of starting strong and like fizzling out, and he did it in Philadelphia for I think that's why he lost his job in Philly, where he would take these red hot Eagles and go and like have a couple red hot victories. In
well,
the first
historically,
6 or 8 weeks.
Andy Reid has been phenomenal after his bye week, and that is what threw off a lot of gamblers on this bet this week. He's been phenomenal.
I've been watching it for my
bye
entire
week.
Life, though. Him like just going really strong and fizzling out like when the playoffs conversation starts, and then he'll lose he'll lose 4 or 5 games right in a row. Whenever that conversation, but I was talking to an intern, I think, while I was on hold. But I really called for the NBA. I don't watch a lot of SportsCenter, so when I was watching the Celtics road trip and watching this winning streak, I didn't realize that Marcus Smart has a reputation as a flopper, and I was actually kind of like floored that the announcement in Dallas was especially hard on Marcus Smart. Continually, it was very biased. I mean, he's a home, I'm not sure his name, big tall guy with glasses, but whoever he did not like Marcus Smart. He was really upset about the Mavericks loss. It was a home team, and he laid it on thick, and even interviewed Tiki Barber. Out of all people, Tiki Barber was in the stands, and got Tiki Barber to concur with several several
well,
flopping.
Tiki Barber couldn't flop forward if his life depended on it.
I mean, he would have chasing a coughed up ball. But that's beside the point. Anyway, I didn't realize, and the internet's full of memes, like upon my, you know what I mean, to my like whore, like as I go into Google.
So what's your main point here? Is Smart a flopper?
I think that it's an ill. He's a smaller guy, you know, as far relative to the NBA, and I think he collides and he crashes with a lot of people, and he tries to get favorable calls. But I think he's as tough as a coffin nail at an Irish funeral. I just don't see him as a flopper. I thought that was a little maybe a little sour grapes, you know, a little haterade from the 16-0, and it was a tough loss. It was a tough loss for Dad. I was shocked as an NBA fan to discover that Marcus Smart has a reputation as a flopper, and I would beg to differ, respectfully so.
Well, yeah, that's a great point to bring up, because our co-host of the show, Eddie Fain, has a total different point on that aspect of that dude's play. He thinks that Marcus Smart is a complete fallacy in the NBA. He thinks the dude is no good, no business being in the NBA, that his whole career at Oklahoma State was a complete fraud.
Anything,
what do you have
Stop
to
it.
Say about this?
No, hang on now. I wouldn't take it that far, bro. I think you put a few little exclamation points where they didn't need to go. I'm not saying he doesn't belong in the NBA. I like to disagree with you when you go in very hard as to pitch to me why Marcus Smart is as good as he is. And I've watched.
I'm not
going to
defend his
offense many times.
If you notice, I'm not on here defending his like shooting capacity or his like offensive prowess or anything like this. I'm certainly not going to.
He does need to be there for the Celtics' success. He is a difference maker on a team, and especially on a team like that that has so many good players and so many role players, you need a catalyst to change the direction of your team, and that is a guy like Marcus Smart. Anything
well,
is just
return,
jealous because
starter,
he has Goran
right?
Dragic. He has Goran Dragic on his squad who can't do nothing but bounce the ball off of his toe into his already busted lip to mess things up for him and his boy Hassan Whiteside. Marcus Smart is a true grit individual. I would take him on my favorite NBA team, and I would take him on my favorite NFL team as well.
Yeah, listen, hang on real quick, guys, before you want to go nuts with it. Yeah, okay, you're going to be your Marcus Smart apologist, and you know what he is, dude. We all know what he is, and I'm glad you're getting fired up now. Beck, I'm glad you're here on the show with me, Beck. I'm glad that you're finally talking to me, dude, because I want to talk so much shit to you that is blowing my mind right now, and I'm going to hold it back because all night tonight I'm going to call you 30 times to rub this in your face, and when Marcus Smart fouls out of the game, which he inevitably will, with 5 points, 3 rebounds, a block, oh, Marcus Smart,
that's
he had a bad night. This is what's coming.
That's a great game for Marcus.
Fouling out?
Yeah.
You can get fouls? Yeah, dude, put me on the court and I'll get some fouls. I'll probably get hurt in the process, but I'm telling you right now, dude, I'll get you 5 fouls. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, but we would like him
to
hurt somebody with some actual talent.
Of his point. Like, he will go 3-14, but the three he hits are desperately needed at the time. They do shift momentum. I don't know if he needs much like improving on the team, but the timeliness of his points, and you can't measure that in stats or anything like that.
I gotta ask you, because you seem like a knowledgeable person. What is it on planet Earth where this dude, when there's nothing on the line, can't hit a three? But when everything's on the line, Marcus Smart seems to be able to drain the thing, nothing but net. What is it in an individual? What is in their mind? Do you have any explanation for that? Because I don't.
You
can't
hit
one when there's nothing on the line, but when it's on the line, he's got it on mark.
I guess he's had the whole game to kind of miss and range in, and usually, like, the timely times when you need the shots are at the end of the game. So, you know, he usually tends to start hitting him at the end of the game after he's, you know, shot a couple short, ranged in, overshot him, jacked
See,
him up.
You're going
in.
With the law of probability. You thought of that law?
Yeah,
like,
and I was like,
something?
Not,
I'm not sure about that.
I think when your back's against the wall
and you only have to take action, your action seems to have better results when you're confident in what you do. When you have time to think about it and you know you're supposed to do it, but you don't really have to now, that's what it comes down to. Caller, we love the call. You brought a lot of heat to the conversation. We can't wait to talk to you next week. What's your name?
Okay, and then if I can talk one more thing by you, my boss has talked me into a Detroit Pistons. I've already bought the tickets. Detroit Pistons and Wizards on December 1st in D.C. Any advice? New boss. And
Do you have to go with your boss?
Yeah.
That's gonna be good. Hang on. I really want to hear this advice, JV. I'm gonna take 5 seconds of airtime real quick. If you think of how you're gonna answer this, because this I gotta hear. Go ahead, KB. What would you do in that situation, Beck?
Yeah. I mean, it's an offer you can't refuse. Hey, you know, interested in this ticket? I'm like, yeah. And it turns out I thought I was getting two tickets when, in fact, I'm going with my boss. So there's no back deal. Like, I know nothing of either club.
Well,
this
is what you got to do. Like in any situation, do what KB wouldn't do. When you're in a situation like this, you drink two less drinks. Not two more. You think you would want to get two more beers so you feel more comfortable, but in actuality, you want to drink two less. Have two less beers. Make sure that you offer to buy everything for your boss. Make sure you offer to buy because you know he's going to pay for it anyway. And roll with the punches. And also celebrate the team he's rooting for, whether you like it or not.
Very good. I think he's a Howard University graduate. I think he's a D.C. guy. Do you know anything about the stadium or any, like, who's the most deadly?
I couldn't tell you
where
Howard University
It was built
plays.
In 1946 by, I think, Howard Thompson, if you want to bring
nice.
That up. Because he did All the right, most. I think that was the first actual inner structure that was done by Mr. Thompson in that area, and he came from South Africa, which is actually a pretty interesting fact if you think about it. First
yeah,
South
all right,
African
yeah, that's perfect.
Build the stadium. Yeah.
Also, I would fact check E. Stain on that before you bring it up into a conversation with your boss. I would fact check that one.
Yeah, and who do we watch out for in the Pistons? Is Avery Bradley still? Did he go there to trade or?
Well, Avery, I used to call him Avery Bradley when he was on the team that I was a fan of. I will always root for Avery Bradley, no matter what team he's on. He's a true baller, NBA player. I like that guy.
Is he in Detroit right now?
Yeah. I can't tell you where he is. Do you know Eddie?
I thought he was in Detroit, but I was going to maybe take a look. Yeah,
Eddie,
he's there.
Hey, we got to drop you. That was a great call.
Okay, yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks
for having me.
Thank you for bringing one of the best blitzes that we've had on the Thanksgiving edition. Let's go to this next caller, Eddie Finn. I can't wait to see how you deal with this one. Let's roll with this mofo. What do you got?
Yeah.
What zone you bringing the blitz from?
Yeah, this is Nas in Atlanta. I don't know who started the mofo stuff, but you another one. What's going on, y'all?
What's wrong with the mofo stuff?
Nothing. I just take any shot I can when I can. That's all. Easy opening. Why not take a shot?
You're like us. You're doing well on the show already.
Indeed. So what y'all getting into, man? I'm catching up late. I just heard the, last call.
Bro, you know what it is, man. We got the Celtics Heat game 7:30, bro. I'm telling you, the Heat are going to win it. Beck's trying to tell me why Marcus Smart's going to be an all-star or whatever the hell he's talking about right now. It's just new usual nonsense. Why don't you go ahead and weigh in on it? Who you got winning this one tonight? This is the first NBA game I've been excited about really all season besides the initial tip-off of Cleveland-Boston.
Yeah, well, the winning streak is going on for so long, so you just bet the other side now and wait on the winning streak to end. So even if it's a bad team, you bet on them to win. That's how I'm putting my money. But, yeah, they got a shot to win it. Dragic may give Kyrie a few problems. You know, he's good defensively.
He's good.
He can bother him
a little bit. You know what
Marcus Smart, though, man. That is the dirtiest dude in the league. I hate everything he stands for, the sliding under people. the grabbing, the pulling. I don't like how he plays basketball. Like, but the Celtics, man.
Then you don't like how people used to play quarterback back in the day in football, man. You got to do that. If you're not grabbing, pulling, if you're not rubbing, you're not racing, man. Come on, man. Marcus Smart plays tough-ass ball. You go to a playground and you're not playing like that, you ain't going to win, man. That's the way it is. But I do agree with your other point. I'll let you come back at me on both of these because I do agree with your other point where they got to go cold sometime. They're on such a hot streak, you never know when it's going to end. They've been able to fight off cold spurts throughout the winning streak to this point. But down in Miami against a decent team, it's going to be tough. But Marcus Smart, he's not playing dirty ball. He's playing smart ball. And his name is Marcus Smart. So come on and try and battle that.
Yeah, hey, whatever, man. Hey, man, some people appreciate effort. I appreciate that. Like, he plays hard, I get it. But I just don't like dirty guys as far as how he plays. But, I mean, it is what it is. They got a good team.
So he's getting a reputation as a flopper now. Do you think that his flopping is dirtier or his ripping and grabbing and bumping and grinding is worse? Or
the flopping thing is probably overstated because everybody's trying to get calls. But it's just the grabbing, the constant crying, the acting like he can make a play when he can at certain points. Like, dude, the person is already dunking. Now, why are you jumping? Like, you're not really making a play. You just, you know, that try hard stuff. That
you know what?
Like,
I'm glad.
Like, chill out,
I'm so glad you brought that point up because me and Ethan, we had a battle about that the other night. There, I give Marcus Smart a lot of respect for that sometimes because there's not a lot of people that would jump into a situation that they're already going to be posterized on. Marcus Smart has no problem doing that. How can you not respect that as a man?
Get out of here.
How could you respect that as a man? It's a lack of dignity, man. You know, we're trying to block shots, man, but you can't be out here just getting posterized and acting like that's normal. Like, no, that's supposed to be a once-in-a-season event. You're supposed to get posterized and regular.
So you'd rather have Lonzo Ball, who'd rather let his dad do the talking, have his dad do the talking, then jump up there and try and defend a dunk and maybe get a foul. You'd rather have somebody that just duck out from that? I'd take Marcus Smart any day of the week
we
on that, jump in there
Ball.
And contest that dunk. Get in there, foul,
sign,
foul. You've
got a long list of people before we would get to Lonzo.
Which is true. Might not have been the best spot comparison going forward.
Hold on one second. The thing with Lonzo is all of the hype that's out there, they just watch this guy make a pass from his point guard into less than 2 minutes. And now people
Losing a little bit. Clear it up and reiterate that point.
Yeah, his father was able to make a pass-first point guard in the must-see TV. So you got to give it to his father for doing the promotional ridiculousness that he did. He's stupid like a fox to a certain degree. But then the other part of it is he's Ricky Rubio. Like, there's only so far he can go as far as ceiling. He's not that athletic. He's not that fast. Great handle, great passer. But, you know, there's only so much Ball can do. So, I mean, he's not a franchise guy. But, you know, the hype is kind of driven.
Well, no. Wait.
Well, here's the deal, Eddie. The more LeVar speaks up, the more Lonzo gets in his shell. And I think he's hurting Lonzo.
It's 100% what this is, man. I agree with everything the caller said about Marcus Smart. And I think both of you, you can't call Lonzo Ball a bullshit. Not even close. And the other thing is, you're absolutely right. The fact is that he's trying to put on such performance in L.A., man, that when he's at home in L.A. coming as a Los Angeles kid, he's playing so much better on the road than he is at home. It's ridiculous, the numbers. He's shooting 36% from three on the road. He's shooting like 14% from three at home. He's trying so hard to be what he's not comfortable yet. And it's because of the pressure, and also I agree with what you said about LeVar Ball. I hate him. Can't stand him. He's made – everyone in America knows his name. They know the Ball kids. They know what this is because he did a beautiful job of marketing it. And even though we hate him, we know his name. So that's half of it. But the thing is, Lonzo Ball, give it some time, man, because if you want to call him a bust, I don't think that it's there yet. And I think that you just got to let this kid play out. You got to put some weight on him and let him figure out exactly what kind of player he is because the shot is so ugly, and I don't think you're going to be able to change his mechanics that much. But give him time before we just –
just write him down the road because he had some really good games.
But that's the thing, though. I'm not calling him a bust. I'm saying get the expectations realistic. He's more in the realm of Ricky Rubio than Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd had next-level quickness and strength when he was growing up.
Before.
When you watch this kid, like, he doesn't have the explosion, quickness, or anything. That's not something he's going to gain with age. He has certain athletic limitations on him. You know what I mean? That's not his fault. That's just what it is.
Here's my deal.
Rubio's
straight
a nice point guard. You know,
My deal straight up on Lonzo Ball. If his dad doesn't shut the fuck up, then he's going to keep shelling up, and he's never going to be the player that he could be. Every time his dad speaks up, he cowers down. There's already been a couple fights that he's backed down from on the L.A. bench, and we all seen
well, he's
it.
19,
all seen
man. 19, you little dude ain't going to be out here fighting.
There you
but
go.
No, the thing
man,
was,
when I was
here's
19,
the thing. Oh,
I was fighting
I'm
way better than
hold
when I was 29.
Hold on, hold on.
Right
here's the thing.
I was
right,
fighting way better at 19 than I am at 29.
True, but here's the thing with his father, you got to understand. It's either going to go one of two ways. Either they're just going to have a symbiotic relationship where he's the mouth and the kid's the baller and, you know, they just get along, or there's going to be a split and at some point he's not going to talk to his father and it's going to take some time for him to heal this. Like, those are the only two ways it's going to go. But as far as him being vocal and all of that and then Lonzo shrinking, man, that shouldn't have anything to do with you on the court, man. That's a totally different thing.
Listen,
you're a point guard.
Lonzo
you got the
already,
toughest matchups every night.
Lonzo
you got
to
deal with your own business.
He's distance himself from his dad. He's already having to distance himself from his dad. Because his head coach, Luke Walton, has already said, you know, we're not worried about what LeVar – and I don't even like to say the dude's name, man, because he's not, like, media – he's not attention-worthy. He's just not. We shouldn't be talking about the guy. He's just Lonzo's dad. He's not LeVar. He's Lonzo's dad. There's no reason to even talk about the guy. There's no reason.
The forest for the trees.
And
that dude changed the whole sneaker landscape.
To distance himself.
Oh, hold on.
The more Lonzo gets under the wing of Luke Walton, because Luke Walton's dad actually played in the NBA and had a good-ass career, unlike Lonzo Ball's dad. He needs to stay with Luke, not Lonzo's dad. And that's the final thing.
That's a personal decision. You can't tell anyone that they should separate themselves from their father. That's a personal thing. But just understand it in this way, man. No matter how stupid LeVar is, like I said, he's changed the whole sneaker game landscape. There's going to be a smarter guy than him who comes next who does the same thing but in a more effective way and scares the hell out of Nike, Adidas, and everybody else. So he's just the first shot in this. Somebody else is going to do it better. So he just changed everything, even though, you know, we all consider him a publicity hound and, you know, somewhat of an idiot. He has clumsily changed everything, and you got to get that dude credit
for
that.
Well, here's one thing I don't consider Lonzo's dad to be. I don't think that he's an idiot by any means. I think he's actually a smart individual. I think he's just arrogant and he goes about things in the wrong way for perception of the public. But he definitely does things in the right way. You're right. He's opened the door. He's kicked down the doors of Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour. No individual has ever rattled the cages of these big companies like he has. And I give him so much respect for that. But I also thought, you know, once when Lonzo got to the NBA that he would back off, but now he's calling out the Lakers coaching staff, just like
he's
calling out the AAU coaching staff.
His setting
and he's calling
is
out the UCLA coaching staff, and it's not going to stop.
He doesn't have a moderate
Lonzo's
setting.
Dad,
setting
Lonzo's
is
dad is not dumb.
That's
Lonzo's
all he
dad
does.
Is not dumb. He's not dumb.
He's a smart dude. But he can't throttle it down. He has one setting. So you can't expect him to actually temper everything. No, this is what it's going to be. But, you know, overall, the question becomes at the end of the day, did he plug into what culturally is where we are in the moment? You see 45 as a president, and you see this guy making headlines. Maybe we all missed the boat on what we thought norms were. Maybe norms are being broken, and we're looking at a society that's changing, and somehow these outliers seem to be what actually draws attention. So, you know, we can talk about them all we want to. They had their finger on the pulse way better than most of us did.
I give it to you. And to capitalize on what you're talking about, Lonzo's dad,
nobody can take the temperature of a room better than him, man. He understands the cultural climate, and he capitalized on it. What do you got to say about that, Bane?
Shut up, man. Come on, dude. What are you doing? I actually don't want to bring up this dude anymore. I mean, we made a point you need to make. Let's not crown him as this. He's not that great. He's just a clown. He's a character. He's a very intriguing character that we all want to keep our eye on because he's always saying the next thing that comes out of his mouth is stupider than the one before. Also, I do understand what you're saying about the shoes, and maybe he did open the door for other people. But let's not – dude, enough, man. Just let me watch the kid play ball. I don't care about the Ball family. I want
you know,
him to play sports.
He's a fun guy to watch play basketball, that kid Lonzo.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, when he's
it's
going good, when he's going good, it's fun to watch. Yeah, when
and
he's
I'm
going
telling
good,
you
it's
something
fun to watch.
Else. Look, the thing you said about 19 and 25 or whatever the fight – dude, yeah, once this guy becomes a man – at 23, he probably will have some type of falling out with his dad. At the same time, his dad will have his energy focused in other places, i.e. the other two kids, the businesses, the show, the 15 minutes, the long, drawn-out 15. Let's call it the 20 minutes of fame. It's kind of over, and now it's more of a money thing. And Lonzo will be okay and be his own man at 22, 23. But, man, this shit is going to drag on for another year or two. Eventually, Lonzo Ball is going to have to finally just say, look, Dad, all right, we got here. We're here. You got to let me play some ball, man.
And does he seem like a reasonable man that's going to listen to his son?
No, you're right. You're right.
Who would you recognize more in public? Steve Harvey or LeVar Ball?
Who's more what?
Who would you recognize easier in public? Steve Harvey or LeVar Ball?
Steve Harvey.
It depends on who you're talking to. A sports fan will see LeVar Ball. Mainstream America will see Harvey because they think he's funny over there. For some reason, they think that's funny. But
I recognize Harvey.
I love that
show.
That 45 point, though. Think about it. 45, no political background, no understanding of legislation, takes this moment all the way to the top chair in the country. Like, we do got to recognize that some people have figured out this moment, man. And LeVar, barbershop personality that he somehow packaged into this. Because, I mean, this is what usually bad barbershop sports opinions, they say the shit LeVar Ball says every day. Like, when you go in a barbershop and you hear stupid sports opinions, that's typically what you get. Somehow these two guys packaged that stuff and got to the top of the hill, man. I don't know, man.
And can you explain that to me? Because I'm waiting for somebody to give me an explanation of how that works.
I can give you an explanation.
I've been trying to figure it out forever.
I can give you an explanation. I can give you an explanation. This is where our country is. This is what it is. Social media is king. No, social media is king. It is. It's taken over everything. By using your own devices in your hand, you can do this. By saying the most out, just be more outlandish than the last person. Oh, he said that? Oh, well, no, the earth is flat. What? Oh, well,
man,
oh, that made sense. Oh, that made
sense. We
say
fucked up shit all the time and pick it up the blitz,
exactly,
man.
And
we ain't
look
got
at it. Look at how much the show is blowing up. But listen to me. That's it. And LeVar Ball can say whatever he wants, kind of get away with it. Yeah, he does get away with it. And boom, Trump, our president, is the same guy. He's the same dude. He says whatever.
Literally
he wants
the same guy.
That's just Trump being Trump. So you can say, how did LeVar Ball get there? How did, oh, bro, we turn political real quick? Damn, picking up the blitz first on Thanksgiving Eve. And you say, how did Trump get in the White House? Same shit. Just say the most nonsensical shit ever. And people are like, wait, what?
Okay. Hey, Eddie, now that we've gone
yeah, we went too far. I wanna
bring up this.
No, we're too far.
Especially with this caller on the line. Because I think that everybody is kind of like rolling over on this point. But have you guys noticed the amount of USA on a lot of the NFL coaches' backs?
All of the
NFL shop gear says USA on the back of it now. Like, that's
it
the way
just
of backtracking.
It wasn't the Veterans Day
thing? No,
well,
no, no.
The NFL is always clumsy in advocating for anything. So if they feel like they're at a position where they have to reinforce something, which would be the attack on their so-called patriotism, so, of course, they're going to double down and do it. But, you know, it's not going to come off well. It's going to be really abrasive and in your face and just kind of look not genuine. So, I mean, this is what they're good at, just from the breast cancer stuff with all the pink and all of that. Like, do any of us think they really care about any of these issues? No.
their
Dude,
organization,
don't find,
their business,
don't find a
and,
cat
you know,
to wear pink shoes
is what they do.
If it ain't in the right month.
Yeah, but at the same time, that's smart business because if you advocate for one thing, then somebody else wants to do something. So their whole stance was don't advocate for anything. You write that about your mother's cancer on your shoes, got to fine you. Sorry, we don't want to advocate for anything because then we'll be held to that standard. So, I mean, it's a good corporate stance to take for them, but no matter what.
I don't know, man. For me, it seems like I got to lean left, I got to lean right, I got to fly down the middle. I can't just fly straight. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't want to offend somebody. I don't
want
to do this.
They
don't
want any problem.
It's just a ridiculous culture. When we used
when
to
you
just
got
watch sports,
sponsor,
man, it used
to
be your team
code,
versus
okay?
my team. It used to be your team versus my team. Is my team going to whoop your team's ass or not? And that was it. And now all of a sudden, we created this show, Picking Up the Blitz, you know, to talk sports, help people win money and fantasy bragging rights. And all of a sudden, we got this going on, man. It's almost like unexplainable.
Well, that's what the owners are saying as they try to deal with this tossed into their lap because, you know, they don't want any parts of this. They want to go on to business as usual, but it appears that won't be possible. So now
money is usual.
Yeah, well, like I said, man, they don't want to go from having Coke as a sponsor to RC Coke. So they want to keep things as, you know, normative as possible.
My dog, he knows
but it just can't be done at this point. So now they're looking for a way to figure this out. The only interesting thing to come out of this lately is probably if Kaepernick actually gets the discovery stuff and we get emails from ownership.
Let me ask you, don't call it back.
What's your name again? I apologize.
Yeah, this is Naj in Atlanta, man.
Naj in Atlanta. I think you might have called in one time before, right?
Maybe. I think
maybe,
so.
If the season ended right now, the NFL season, what would be the most memorable thing of this season right now, if it ended right now?
You can't do that, man. That's a stupid question, bro. You can't do that yet. Yeah, well, you know what the most memorable thing is all the nonsense that's gone into the NFL season. It's obviously not the product. All right, I know you're asking the caller. I'm just saying you got to wait until the playoffs where actual real football gets back to being real football. Caller, go ahead. You can answer his garbage question he just threw at you.
I think he's trying to push me to say the Eagles, and I hate the Eagles, so I'm not saying Carson Wentz and the Eagles. I'll just tell you that, okay? Because I think that's what you're trying to say.
So if the season ended right now, you'd be thinking the Eagles. You'd be thinking about Philadelphia and Carson Wentz. You wouldn't be thinking about any of this other crap.
Yeah, I'll put it to you like this, man. Everybody has their what they believe in, so I don't think we can call it crap because if they could, they would have washed this away a long time ago. But no, this is ongoing. This is going to be going on next year. Like, this is not stopping.
Just,
like,
this is
heartbreaking
to me. This is heartbreaking to me. There's not a play. There's not. Well, I give it to you. You did give it up to a team.
Deshaun Watson, from the plays he made when nobody really expected anything out of him. You know, that
yeah,
was
that was gonna be mine, man. Deshaun.
Come
Watson,
on,
man.
Okay, but yeah, you want to talk about what's the most memorable thing? There's nothing memorable that's happening, dude. No, you can't do this, dude. Deshaun Watson. This is what the NFL is. It's garbage, bro. This is what I brought up last week. This is what we're looking at. Yes, Deshaun Watson was going to be a great story, but it didn't materialize because of injuries and all this stuff. This is what the NFL season is memorable for. Nothing. Backups like Nick Peterman coming in and talking about who the hell is Nick Peterman?
Nathan Peterman?
Hold on. They still got two strong storylines to unfold. They got the Brady old man storyline still getting it done, and they got the Carson Wentz storyline. Those are the two storylines they got.
But I do have something to tell y'all about Nathan Peterman. I picked up Nathan Peterman on my fantasy team, but I didn't start him. E-Fane told me, gave me some good advice. He said, don't start that cat over Case Keenum. And I was like, I don't know, man. I got a feeling about this Nathan Peterman. And Nathan Peterman turned out to be a chose.
Dude, come on. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying, man. So you got Houston, too. You got Tom Savage's.
Blaine Gabbert, Nathan Peterman. You got Scruggs at quarterback. So, yeah, there are two stories that are interesting. It's called the New England Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles. Maybe Pittsburgh creeping up in the AFC and maybe one other team in the NFC. Probably not. So just call it a Super Bowl. Let's have one good game. Just show me something in the playoffs, because if any of these scrub teams with these scrub quarterbacks get in there, it's not worth watching. The wild card games are going to be so bad.
You know what else we saw? We saw that good coaching and understanding that you need to build around whatever you have as opposed to trying to make people fit into a system is what matters. So Zimmer in Minnesota, to where he's had quarterbacks in flux all year and he has to play Case Keenum. He actually has Case Keenum playing at a high level because of the way they drafted and, you know, the way they use them. So the fact that we got
and
other coaches
you can use the same model for Sean McVay and the Los Angeles Rams. To piggyback on that, you could use the same model for the Rams. The Rams,
I got to say this, man.
Jared Goff throws a great deep ball.
Oh, yeah. Pretty deep ball. But from what we saw last year, it looked like Jared Goff was going to wash out of the league. Sean McVay comes in there and works with him. Now,
well,
you know, you see, okay, why
HBO
this guy's not top pick.
And the American
so, coach,
media
to the talent you have,
you.
Don't
they,
try to make people
build
fit
it
into
back
a system.
Then they were building, that was back when they were building up Trump and they were building up Hillary and they were breaking down Jared Goff on Hard Knocks, man. That's what the media does. It just, like we were talking about earlier, it just portrays.
But I don't blame the media for that, though. I blame the last coaching staff who tried to make
Jeff
him do things he's not good at.
Jeff Fisher.
No, you use the player's strength, coach, to that. Yeah, the mustache. The great 7-9. Finally out of the league. And there's a few more guys in the league.
You better have an offensive coach.
Yeah.
You better have an offensive coach.
Even got creative.
Which is why.
He puts in Watson and changes his system. Why? Because you play to your player's strength, man. You don't try to force guys to do things they're not good at. But there's too many coaches who do that and still have a job. And they got to be washed out of the league.
3 minutes left
in
the show.
I'm with you, dog.
All right, man. Y'all do your thing. But appreciate y'all letting me on so long, man.
It's been a great call, man.
You're
one of these dudes that I would not say this to.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Because I know you got some great arguments, bro.
Yeah, man, I've been known to start shit in the empty room, man. It is what it is, bro. But, hey, y'all have a good one. And, man.
Don't
bet
week.
On the Celtics tonight. I'm about to cash out tonight, Miami. Put the money down.
Oh, man, that's too much. That's too much. Eddie, I hope you got the game ball ready, man. We got to hit it up, dog.
What? What did you say? We're still on the air.
I didn't understand what he said.
And now, by your boy E-Fan and Kyle Beck, brought to you by Gold Chains and Champagne Entertainment. Hell yeah!
Hell yeah! I like that. Game ball.
My game ball goes out to the callers that hung with us the whole time through technical difficulties. This dude brought a lot of good points to the show. My man right here, what's your name again? Oh, he's gone. Eddie Fan, I guess you're going to have to take over for him. What we got going down for game balls?
It goes to Peterman, dude. 5 picks in the first half after I had to listen to your old spiel about his YouTube highlights.
You got to give Peterman Chodeman some props because only 4 footballs hit the ground while he was playing quarterback.
Hell of a guy, man. Hell of a guy. All right, so
hell
that was the game ball segment.
That was the game ball segment. This is the end of the show.
Baker Mayfield. Knock it off, man. Stop. Just stop for a second. Baker Mayfield. This dude's a star. This dude's got moxie. This dude's grabbing his nuts on the sideline. This dude's the man. Hopefully it translates in the NFL. Probably won't. I think Baker Mayfield's must-see TV. Baker Mayfield gets the game ball. Get off his nuts. Literally, man. Stop. Everybody needs to calm down. Oh, he's so bad for the sport. Oh, he's so bad for college. Bro, give me a face.